Invite you to be turning in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I want to thank you for your presence tonight. It's already been expressed, but if you're visiting with us, we're really happy that you're here to honor the God who loves us and has sent his son to die for us. We recognize, even as we have experienced in these last few moments, that Satan is ever out to cause trouble in our lives. He tempts us. He brings pain and suffering and sorrow upon us. But God is far more powerful. And our lives are in his hands at every moment. We trust him with everything, our next breath, from our next breath to our eternity. And so we're thankful that we can put our sister Linda in his hands tonight and know that he cares for her. So let's focus now together on his word, John chapter 14, where Jesus has some wonderful things to say to his disciples. This is the night that he's betrayed. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled," in verse 1. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go," he says, "to prepare a place for you." He says, where I go, you know the way, and the way you know. And Thomas says to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus declared himself, among other things, to be the truth. And I want to focus on that declaration, self-declaration of Jesus Christ with you tonight. What is truth? The question may be as old as man, but it is at least as old as Pontius Pilate, who asked it when Jesus stood right there before him. He turns and he says, "What is truth?" And Jesus is standing before him, the very embodiment of truth. What is truth? What makes something true? Is truth simply what is true to you? Or is there a universal truth that is true for everyone? What is truth? In our society, it is continually changing according to our society. Truth is a moving target. To the world, truth is not what it once was. It's not what it was yesterday, let alone 2,000 years ago. To the world, truth has changed. A survey was done recently. 3/4 of millennials, 74%, agree strongly or somewhat with this statement: whatever is right for your life or works best for you is the only truth you can know. Whatever is right for your life or works best for you, that's the only truth you can know, according to most of our young adults today. Truth used to be universal truth, with a capital T, truth. It used to be that, actually, for many, many centuries, for most of man's existence on earth, truth was capital T, truth. It was what was delivered from God above. It was absolute. There was no arguing about it. There was no wondering about it. There was no wondering where you got it, for God delivered it to mankind. And then there came an age of modernism, as it's called. That was pre-modernism. Then we came to an age of modernism, where all of a sudden human rationality became the judge of what truth was and wasn't. It wasn't necessarily all bad, this time of rationalism, because at least it was admitted that there is actual truth out there to be found. And if we search diligently enough and test it thoroughly enough and think about it completely enough, that we could find what the truth is. It's out there to be discovered. It was still objective. Most of us who are my age, older, maybe a few who are younger, grew up with this, what is called, modernistic concept of truth. As you may have heard in the last couple of decades, we have now entered what is called postmodernism. And postmodernism is not rational. It doesn't look for evidence to support what truth is. Postmodernism says that truth is whatever you make it up to be, that truth is what you think truth is. Truth is no longer, with a capital T, universal truth, but it's a lowercase personal truth that is to be discovered within us. Postmodernism makes truth a relative entity. What does that mean? Has truth actually changed, or is it just our perception of it that's changed? One young lady tried to explain it this way. She said, truth is like looking through a stained glass window. Imagine you're looking through a stained glass window. There's an object that's in there that you're looking at, but you're not on the inside. You're on the outside. In fact, you're a bee. You're a bee and you're buzzing around and you've landed on the stained glass window and you're looking through it and you see the object that is in there. But you have a buddy bee who is flying around with you, and he lands on another piece of the stained glass window, and he looks through that and sees what's inside. And she says, one bee then cannot say to another bee what that bee saw was wrong, because he just saw it from a different perspective. So while each bee knows what he saw, that was only his perspective. The other bee saw the same thing, but from a different perspective, and thus one cannot say to the other that he is right. They are both right. Did you hear what she said? They are both right. What she's trying to prove, she actually proves is not true. Because neither bee is seeing what's actually there. They're looking at it through stained glass. They're not even seeing the right color. They're not both right. They're both wrong. Truth is what you would see if the stained glass wasn't there. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not truth. Just because somebody else is looking through another piece of stained glass and seeing it a different color, that doesn't mean it's not truth. There's still truth there. You just haven't seen it yet. Just because they think they know what they saw doesn't make it truth. They did not see what they thought. That's what it makes it. And so tonight, let's focus on this reality that Jesus is the truth. Jesus communicates the truth of God, the very being of God, who God is and what God is to mankind. John 1 and verse 14, the Word, that is Jesus, God's communication to man, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. The law was given through Moses, John 1:17 says, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't just say things that are true. Things are true because Jesus says them. He determines what is true. He is the truth. That's what He's claiming. That's what the Bible says about Him, and that is reality. That is reality. Jesus declared God's Word to be truth. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth, He said. Jesus gave God's Word, the Word of truth, to His apostles and prophets. Back earlier in John 17 and verse 8, He says to God in a prayer, He says, I have given to them the words that You've given to Me. They've received them. They have known surely that I came forth from You. They have believed that You sent Me. In verse 14, He says, I have given them Your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Earlier, He promised them in John chapter 16 and verse 13, I have many things to say to you. You cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. The Spirit was to guide the apostles into all truth. And the Spirit had all truth because He took it from Jesus Christ. Because Christ gave it to Him. That's what the text says. He will take from Mine and declare to you. That's what Jesus said on that occasion. So Jesus gave the Word of truth to His apostles and prophets. And we know the truth then by knowing His Word. John 8 and verse 31 says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, You are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. How will they know the truth? By abiding in His Word. For His Word contains truth. His Word is truth. And that brings us right back to John 14 and verse 6, where Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. We're having a lot of trouble with truth in our world today. Jesus will help us out if we understand that He is the truth. I want to make some observations about the nature of truth, and in doing that, I'm going to be making observations also about Jesus Christ. First of all, the truth is divine in its origin and in its nature. Ultimately, all truth is God's truth. Truth is from above. It is not from the world. It is not what the crowd speculates to be. It is not determined by opinion polls. It is not grandfathered in by human tradition. Truth can be known only by divine revelation. What that means is, in a practical matter, sin is whatever God says it is. Judgment is whatever God says it is. Salvation and the way to it is whatever God says. Heaven and hell are whatever God says they are. It matters not what man says. Truth is of divine origin. It matters what God says. Romans 3 and verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. Whatever God says is true. Jesus is the truth because He is divine. He is perfect. He is God. Jesus Christ is too good not to be true. For He is God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says about Him that He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. That's the English Standard Version. Jesus is the exact imprint of the nature of God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 says that in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. The truth is divine in its origin and nature. The truth is absolute. You know, without God, there really cannot be any absolutes. And without absolutes, there can be no objective universal truths. Without absolutes, truth becomes subjective, and postmodernism would be right. But the truth is absolute because God is absolute. All truth is absolute because God is absolute truth. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 21, John writes, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. This means that whatever is true absolutely. And everything contrary to that is a lie. Truth is exclusive. It is not inclusive. We can't have your truth and my truth and have those things be opposite. Truth excludes the opposite. The issue of our day is not whether there is absolute truth that is true for everyone, because there is absolute truth that is true for everyone. It's not even really arguable once you admit that truth is divine. Truth must also be absolute. All truth is then universally true. There is no place where truth is not true. If truth is truth, if it's divine in its origin, it's true in Athens, Alabama. It's true in Athens, Greece. It's true in Timbuktu. Doesn't matter where you go. Truth from God is truth. Now, you may think of something that may be true in our culture that may not be true in Athens, Greece. You know what? That didn't come from God. That's a human truth. That's a human idea of what's true. God's truth is absolute everywhere. Francis Schaeffer reminds us, biblical Christianity is truth concerning total reality, the totality of reality. Truth is absolute because it is derived, again, from the one God. Absolute truth depends on God. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. God's truth is true here, there, everywhere, and always, because it is absolute. And that leads us then to the reality that truth is singular. That is to say, truth is a single entity. It's not many things. It's one thing. Truth cannot merely be a truth, as if it exists in fragments from various sources. Truth is not a collection of ideologies. That's not truth. It can never be found in the study of comparative religions or competing philosophies. All truth is found in one God. It's not found in Muhammad. It's not found in Joseph Smith. It's not found in Buddha. It's not found in Karl Marx. It's not found in Confucius. The truth comes from the one God, the source of all truth. It is singular because God, what's the repeated statement, Old Testament, New Testament? God, the Lord your God, is one God. One. It's interesting as you study the concept of truth in Scripture. Much of the time, the word truth is preceded by the definite article, the. It is the truth. Jesus didn't say, I am a truth. He didn't even just say, I am truth. He said, I am the truth. You know what? Singular, right? Definite. I am the truth is what he claimed. And that's what he is. Because truth is singular. It is internally inconsistent. It is internally consistent, I should say. It never contradicts itself. Interesting, when you study different religions, Hinduism, for instance, you know, the Hindus have many gods, and I've talked about this before, and they accept many gods. You can be a Hindu and believe in Jesus Christ. You can be a Hindu and believe in Jesus Christ and believe in Vishnu at the same time. You say, well, those are contradictory. That doesn't bother a Hindu, because truth doesn't have to be consistent to be truth in the mind of many people in this world, including the Hindus. But truth is consistent with itself. It's always consistent with itself. It's one thing. It's one, because God is one. It's in harmony with all other aspects of itself. In Psalm 119 and verse 160, the English Standard Version, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, read along these lines: the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Two aspects of that. There are a lot of individual parts to truth, but they all are part of one thing. The sum, S-U-M, totality, the sum of your word is truth. All of it together forms this one thing that we call truth. In other words, truth presents a singular worldview. It presents one origin of the universe, one problem of the human race, sin, one way to salvation, one way of holiness, one standard for the family, one plan for human history, one consummation of the age. Truth is singular. I read an illustration that went like this. Once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, and they saw a man ahead of them, and the man saw something shiny, and he reached down and he picked it up. And the devil's cohort asked him, what did the man find? And the devil said, he found a piece of truth. And his cohort asked him, doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? And the devil said, no, I will see that he makes a religion out of it. How many religions have been begun with a piece of the truth, but not the truth. How many denominations even have in the names of the denominations a piece of the truth around which they were started? What does it mean to be Baptist? I'm not picking on the Baptist, but what it, you know, baptism, immersion, right? Baptism, immersion. You know, the Baptist got that. There's a piece of the truth. They named themselves after that piece of the truth. Presbyterian, what's Presbyterian have to do with anything? Presbyters are elders. It's a way the church is organized. They name themselves after a piece of the truth. What does Episcopalian mean? Overseers, episcopus, bishops, overseers, a piece of the truth. They have bishops. So many religions are started with a piece of the truth, and they name themselves after a piece of the truth. And the devil's mighty happy about that. Because when we have just a piece of the truth and we focus on that to the exclusion of the rest of the truth, we do not have the truth. We don't have Jesus. Truth, then, based on all that we've said so far, and this is sort of a halfway through conclusion, truth is objective. Truth doesn't depend on me, it depends on God. If it's divine in its origin, if it's absolute, if it's singular, my opinion about it doesn't mean a thing. My feeling about it, my perception of it doesn't change it one little bit. It is truly what it is. Because truth is objective, it is impartial, it is unbiased, it is unprejudiced, it is nonpartisan. If we think some political party in the United States of America has a corner on truth, we don't understand the truth. Or we could extrapolate that to various philosophies being bandied about, various forms of government, forms of economic organization, whatever you want to name. Truth is objective. God is no respecter of persons, and so neither is the truth. Truth is immutable. That means that God's truth is like God. It doesn't change. Like Jesus, who doesn't change. The writer of the Hebrew letter is clear. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is unchangeable, and truth is unchangeable. Society may redefine morality. Culture may try to reclassify its mores. But Jesus identified himself as the truth, not the custom of the day. Truth is forever the same. The psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Isaiah affirms in Isaiah 40 and verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever." The world changes. Kingdoms rise and fall. Truth remains unchanging. Truth is permanent, fixed, established, inflexible, unvarying, constant, lasting, enduring, and unchanging. It's always relevant. Doesn't matter how old it is. You know, well, that was 2,000 years ago. That was 4,000 years ago. It's truth. The age of it is entirely irrelevant. It is always current. It is always contemporary. It addresses the issues of the day if we would but listen to it. It always addresses the issues of the day, for it is always right. It never tires. It never wanes. It never ceases to be true. Truth is authoritative. When Jesus was on this earth, people were astounded at his teaching because his word was with authority. Luke 4, verse 32 says, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Truth is never meant to be simply interesting. I think it's interesting, but it's not just there to be interesting. It never speaks just to tickle our curiosity. Instead, truth roars with the sound of many waters. It drowns out every other voice. It is overwhelming. It is overpowering. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 15, in that wonderful description of Jesus Christ, so symbolic of who Christ really is, if we understood Him, if we really saw Him, the text tells us that His feet were of fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and His voice was of the sound of many waters. It's the voice of truth. I've stood at Victoria Falls and heard the falls roar so loud you can't hear yourself think. At the edge of the ocean when the waves were crashing and you couldn't carry on a conversation for the voice of the waters. That's the voice of truth, the voice of Jesus. It summons us. It mandates our complete compliance. It demands our attention. It's binding on our lives. It has the final word in all matters. It tells us how to worship. It tells us how to walk. It's authoritative. Jesus is the truth. And because Jesus is the truth, Jesus must be told. We must tell others of Jesus, for we must tell others the truth. You have to understand, when we're trying to start these Bible studies with people, when we're doing the public Bible readings, when you're talking to your neighbor about the Word of God, you're talking about Jesus, the truth that must be told. It must be told because it sets us free from sin. That's what He said in John 8. We read it already. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The Jews said, we've never been in bondage to anybody. Jesus said, you're slaves to sin. You've been slaves to sin from the get-go. You need to be set free by the Son. Jesus is the truth that sets us free. He is the truth that changes our lives. He is life-changing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Jesus is the truth that changes your life from the old man to the new man, from a dying creature to a new creation, bound to live forever. Jesus is the truth that does that. Jesus is the truth that must be told if lives are to be changed and fit for eternity. He is the absolute truth, the last say, the final judge. In Revelation 3 and verse 7, Jesus commands John to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says He is holy, He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. That's Jesus Christ. He's absolute. He shuts it, you don't open it. He opens it, you can't shut it. He is absolute. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and He who sat on it was called faithful and true. And in righteousness He judges and makes war. He is true. And He judges and makes war. Jesus, the truth. The truth that must be told. Are you telling the truth of Jesus in your life? Are you living it? Are you talking about it? This truth who came to save us, who came to show us the way. In the 1800s, there was a very famous actor in Britain, did a lot of plays and things in London. His name was William Charles Macready. Most of us don't know that name, not having watched movies in the 1800s. But he was an extraordinarily gifted and famous actor. In fact, a lot that is taught in acting schools today was really founded on some of the things that MacReady came up with in the 1800s. There was an eminent preacher in London who one time met with MacReady and asked him, he says, "You know, I have this question for you. I wish you'd explain something." He says, "What's the difference between you and me? You are appearing before huge crowds every night. The crowds go wherever you go to watch you act, to hear your lines." He says, "I am preaching the essential and unchangeable truth, and I'm not getting any crowd at all. What's the difference between you and me?" And MacReady says this. He said, "I'll tell you the difference. I present my fiction as if it were the truth. You present your truth as if it were fiction." Jesus is the truth that must be told. He's truer than the things we're watching on TV, reading in books, seeing on our phones. He's the truth. Let's talk about Him. Live Him. Follow Him. Like He's the truth. Every myth and every fiction that has ever been invented by mankind, if it could talk, if it could wish, if it had desire, could only wish to be Jesus Christ. He's the truth. Would you give your life tonight to following the truth? He came to save you. He came to guide you. If you name His name this evening, He guides you in the way that's truth. Please come while we stand and while we sing.